Welcome back to the second half hour of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Our number, 614-8980. Give us a call if you've got a question or comment for our guest, Sheriff Susan Parmalow. You can also email questions and comments to The Source at tpr.org. Go to our comments section on our website at tpr.org. Last November, former Air Force two-star general Susan Parmalow became the first female to be elected sheriff in Bexar County. Parmalow unseated the incumbent sheriff with 52% of the vote. Since taking office, she's reorganized the sheriff's department and jail. She was able to get the jail to meet national standards, something that's been a problem for her predecessors. And Susan Parmalow, welcome to The Source.
Thanks so much. It's great to be back.
So let me ask you, when you were campaigning, one thing that your opponent was saying, that you're not a certified law officer, but so you, how is that working?
You know, it's working great because with Bexar County, this is the 19th largest county in the nation, and I lead the 11th largest sheriff's office in the nation. With a $105 million budget and 1,700 employees, that's an issue of executive leadership and hiring the right people who are steeped in that law enforcement experience. Texas law says that to run for sheriff and be elected, you don't have to have law enforcement experience. But in the next, within 2 years after being sworn in, I have to get my basic peace officer license, and I'm well on my way toward completing that.
The number to call if you want to join the conversation, ask the sheriff a question, 614-8980. Also, I want to mention that if there is breaking news coming from NPR about what's happening in Boston, we will go to that. So if there's any new developments, we will bring that to you. But right now, we're talking to the sheriff. So the sheriff, Bexar County is a large urban county. And as you mentioned, it's a huge area. And so and San Antonio has been reluctant to annex. And so we have very developed parts of Bexar County that are reliant on the sheriff's department and your deputies to be a law and order.
Yes, that's exactly right. And when you look at Bexar County and the portion that we're responsible for in terms of law enforcement, the San Antonio Police Department has 84% of the population of Bexar County. But the Bexar County Sheriff's Office has responsibility for 50% of the land area. That's over 1,200 square miles. And for us, that means 16% of the population. There is the area in western Bexar County has developed tremendously over the last 10 years. And outside the incorporated limits of San Antonio and the other incorporated cities in Bexar County, there's a city the size of Corpus Christi or Waco on the west side of Bexar County. And today, there's almost close to 300,000 people living outside the unincorporated or living in the unincorporated areas of Bexar County. And in less than 5 years, that number is going to grow to almost or over 400,000. And if we are not ready and plan for the future to make sure we have sufficient law enforcement coverage, Bexar County won't be ready to make sure that we are providing public safety that our citizens expect.
So this is put in context, you know, 400,000 people, that's bigger than most cities in the state.
Yes.
I mean, it's bigger than Waco. It's like, it's a huge city. It's bigger than Midland, Odessa put together.
That's right.
So that's, and these are places that have well-developed and established police forces providing the day-to-day law and order and providing the security that people depend upon and first responding type material. So, I mean, what's the plan?
You know, just as in the first 2.5 months of my term, we knew the number one issue we had to address was jail staffing. My predecessors and the commissioner's court, let's say they had been fighting each other rather than fighting crime. And we needed to focus on working with the county manager's staff and coming out with what are the requirements to run this jail. It's the 16th largest jail in the nation. And so we put our staffs together, and I think David Smith, the commissioners, and I are all so pleased with how they worked together, and we came to agreement on what the jail staffing should be to run that size of jail. And we're going to do the same kinds of things across all areas of the sheriff's office, because one of the next steps is to do a civilian audit, to look at our civilian positions and make sure we've got the right jobs in the right place and the right numbers. And in the same way, we will do that as we look at court security and judicial services, and especially patrol, to make sure that we've got the right number of people, the right facilities, the right technology to provide for public safety in Bexar County.
And be able to provide backup to the officers, the deputies that you have out on the street.
That's right. And, you know, there's never enough resources to provide for all of the law enforcement needs for federal, state, and local. And that's why it's so important that we work together and partner with other agencies. And I'm so pleased because Chief McManus and I have an excellent relationship.
SAPD chief.
Yes, as well as the police chiefs of other local municipalities across the county, as well as the constables.
So one question we had online from David, he wanted to know how you got the jail up to code in 6 months. So was that the key, was going through the staffing and making sure people were in the right places?
You know, and as I said before, this didn't just happen in the last 2.5 months. There has been a lot of work done by my predecessor and by folks at the jail and the detention center who have brought the Bexar County Jail to a point. And this was, as the jail inspectors said to us, this was the best inspection that they had seen in over 10 years. We had no discrepancies. We had very minor observations. And there were fewer inmate complaints this time than they'd ever had.
And so how did you get that?
You know, one is when we brought together the county manager's staff and my staff, we said, nothing is off limits. We said, you know, if you've got an idea on how the jail can be run better or improve processes, just go for it. Those are the kinds of things that we want to do. So it was opening up ideas. And in fact, even since that time, I get on every week, every few days, emails from our officers saying, what about if we thought about this way of doing things? So we incorporated those kinds of ideas into that evaluation, and we went post by post. You'll recall that there was an agreement late last year to have a third-party review, a consultant come in and assist the county manager's staff and the sheriff's office in determining what our manning, what our staffing needed to be. But I knew the kind of capabilities that the county manager had, what kind of capabilities we had, and we put them together. And they went post by post and reviewed everything, came up with everything that they agreed on, and then I negotiated the final numbers with the county manager.
All right, you're listening to The Source on KSTX, and we're having a conversation with Sheriff Pamelo, and you're welcome to join. Give us a call at 614-8980. And when we come back from this break, we're going to hear about cowboy hats and why deputies are now allowed to wear cowboy hats. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. This is The Source on KSTX, and we're talking with Sheriff Susan Pamelo. If there are any developments about the incident, the bombings that are happened in Boston, we will bring that to you. We're not covering up coverage. If it was there, we would have it. But right now, there is not that. Always, if there's breaking news, we will bring you the breaking news. But here we have Sheriff Susan Pamelo with us here in the studios. And you're welcome to give us a call and join the conversation, 614-8980, or you can email your questions to thesource@tpr.org. And so, Sheriff, one thing you brought back was the cowboy hat. I didn't know there was a prohibition on that before, and now it's back, and so now they can look sporting while they're out on patrol.
Well, I have to tell you that in December, when I went to newly elected sheriff school, it's what I call baby sheriff school, I walked into the room and practically everybody in there had on a cowboy hat. And so we got to talking about it in early January, and the consensus of my leadership team was, people want it, let's do it. And so when we brought it up, several years ago, the leadership decided that they shouldn't wear cowboy hats anymore. But you know, when we announced that we were bringing back the Western hats, Western-style cowboy hats, we had over 8,000 likes on Facebook, and there were more than 1,200 comments, every one of them positive. The one I liked the best said, "This is Texas, duh."
That sums it up right there.
Yeah, and we've gotten just great response, not just from the deputies, but from the community. They just think it's great as well, and I still hear that from lots of people.
Now, we have a question from Patricia online, wants to the sheriff to elaborate on family violence strategies that she talked about during her campaign.
Yes, and I really appreciate that question because, you know, one in every four women is affected by family violence in her lifetime. One in every nine men is affected by family violence. And so it comes from not only the issue of officer safety, because that's one of the most dangerous calls that our officers make. But the second part is dealing with family violence and how it affects us. When you look at the cost to our community across the board, it's a tremendous cost. So whatever we can do to help with that. And let me just talk about a few things off the bat. I just was at a class the other day where we are training 27 officers, 20 of them from Bexar County Sheriff's Office, and there were others who were in the class also. It's the Sexual Assault Family Violence Instructor Course, so that our officers can be prepared to deal with those issues. But the other thing that we are doing is partnering with community resources, community organizations, to help us with victim assistance, making sure that our officers have the right training, that they know how to make referrals to helping agencies in our community. And we are in the process now of putting together a variety of programs and meeting with different agencies across the community. And we'll be, you know, I don't want to put something out that's just a Band-Aid or an ad hoc change. We want to develop a program in partnership with others in our community to make sure that we're doing the right things and we have a strong program when we announce it later this year.
Now, earlier we talked about the need for patrolling out in the unincorporated parts of Bexar County, which is seeing a population explosion. You know, it's always a struggle for resources. And even though you're an elected officer and, you know, you are the sheriff, you don't generate money. You're not a taxing. You have to depend on the commissioner's court. So how is that going to work? How are you going to get those resources from the court?
You know, it's a matter of developing a program and advising them and showing them what kind of long-term needs that the county has. You know, whether or not that's in facilities, in technology, in manpower. But we also need to look within the organization to make sure that the resources we have are placed against the right requirements. For instance, as we did the jail staffing study, we identified officers that were doing jobs that could be done by civilians, for example. And we returned those to working detention positions. And in the same way, if we have positions that should be in doing patrol and other law enforcement-specific duties, we're going to realign those resources to where they are needed. But we've got to look out into the future, because if we just take our budget that we used last year and then just overlay that for this year, that doesn't address the growing needs of this community. And that's where we've got to have not just a short-term plan, an execution year budget, but a long-term plan. What are the requirements 5 years out, 10 years out? And in working with the county commissioners on assuring that working with them, because they also know what the needs are in their precincts, and working with them to make sure that we have a well laid out, well thought out plan for the future.
Well, it seems like there also needs to be a public awareness campaign because, you know, people move out into the county away from the city because they want to get away from city taxes and also, you know, away from ordinances and things like that. But but then they want police protection when they're the ones who had their front door kicked in and their TV taken by some guy they don't know. So how do you, you know, balance that out? And you say, you know, you're going to have to pay taxes to pay for law enforcement to protect your home when you're not here. I mean, and people may not get that.
Mm-hmm. And you make a good point is often we need to educate the public on the issues. And it may be, you know, specific threats. It may be specific things that they need to be watchful of in terms of staying safe themselves and making sure that their properties are safe. And it's just like saying, don't leave things in your car where a thief could break into your car and steal them. And so that's why I've felt it's very important to have a communications strategy. The things that we are doing, I want citizens of Bexar County to know about them because what I have found is there are great deputies, they're great employees in the sheriff's office, and they're doing great work for this community. And I want to highlight that work so that citizens of Bexar County understand that these are public servants who take their commitment very seriously. It's just like the military. If, you know, you're not going to join the military to make $1 million.
Now, when you became sheriff, it seems that there was, right afterwards, there was a series of unfortunate events where some people who were under your charge got entangled with the law, you know. So what was that like for you, knowing that now you had to deal with this as well?
The first weekend after I was sworn in, yes, we had a young woman who ran her car into some propane tanks or hit the barriers that were protecting them, and she was arrested for DWI and criminal mischief. And within the first 27 days that I was in office, there were three officers who were charged with DWI and a civilian.
And you also had somebody who was involved in this sex trafficking event also.
Yes, we did. And he's no longer employed by the sheriff's office. And so I took a strong stance on that because as law enforcement, as public servants, we have a responsibility and we're held to a higher standard. And so we partnered with one of the things that we did. We partnered with the Deputy Sheriff's Association of Bexar County, and they are providing taxi rides for someone who believes they are impaired from having been drinking. And I just before I came over here, I talked to the president of the association. And number one, in the last 2 months, we've not had any incidents like that. They have the message. They've got the message. And there were last month, there was no one asked for a ride home. So if one were sending the message that their behavior is important and they're held to a higher standard, that's the message that I want my officers to have.
Right. And this is not a problem that's endemic to people who work for the sheriff's department. I mean, this weekend, the DA for Travis County herself was pulled over for DWI. And so this is a problem that's in our society.
That's right. And, you know, no matter what profession you're in, There are always a few that adversely affect the reputation of the whole group. It's those that we've got to focus on.
And there are some people who are saying that, though, that this was giving special treatment or some special out for the deputies who would use this service.
Actually not. They are at the point where they recognize that they need to take an action to be safe. And so they've made that call. Someone gets past that point, they're not going to have the wherewithal to make that call and be and make a good judgment call.
So what are your plans for Fiesta as sheriff?
I'm going to go to a lot of activities. And, you know, I remember when I was here as a senior officer in the Air Force, and it was every day had several events for Fiesta. And it's just a great time for this community and a wonderful way to celebrate our heritage, our culture. And so
it's a great opportunity to meet the sheriff. Because you're out in the public so much.
That's right. And I will shake as many hands as people want to.
All right. Well, that wraps up our time with Sheriff Pomelo. Thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you to our people who participated online. You've been listening to The Source on KSTX. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Wayne Coble is the TPR program director. Chris Udaly is our web producer. We get production help from Catherine Dixon. I'm David Martin Davies. You can check us out online at tpr.org. The Source is a production of KSTX, Texas Public Radio. And support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Tuesday on The Source. Is there an ethics problem at City Hall? Real estate deals and campaign finance problems. San Antonio elected leaders and high-ranking staff members are having to answer some tough and embarrassing questions. Is the city in need of a top-to-bottom ethics overhaul? Tell us what you think. We'll take your calls and emails. Join us for The Source Tuesday afternoon at 3 on KSTX 89.1 FM.
From its headwaters in San Antonio to the Gulf waters in San Antonio Bay, the San Antonio River is a thriving ecosystem. Giving back by being watershed-wise includes steps like properly disposing of household waste and vehicle oils, reducing plastic bag use, picking up after pets, and turning rain gutters towards grass and not the street. More at sara-tx.org. This nonprofit message was underwritten by San Antonio River Authority. The conversation continues around your favorite San Antonio lectures online as part of our TPR.org's newest edition, Hear Essay. The online archive of book readings, gallery talks, panel discussions, and more can be found at TPR.org. News and views, KSTX San Antonio, on the air at 89.1 FM and online at TPR.org. It's 4 o'clock.